in the legislature in this strange year. Started out a little bit weird and has ended up a little bit more normal. And then we will have questions and answers from the audience. And so please, please send your questions in the chat feature so that we can ask those. And then hopefully at the end, we'll have the opportunity for some closing statements by each of the legislators as they think about what is coming in the veto slash omnibus session. This morning, we have with us Representative Sidney Carlin from the 66th District, Representative Mike Dodson from the 67th District, Representative Ron Hyland from the 51st District, and Senator Tom Hawk in Senate District 22. And I think if we're okay with this, I'd like to start with our longest serving legislator. Sidney, would you grace us with a few comments right off the start? You're still muted. Sidney, you are still muted. There we go.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, you know, you're right. It did start off really weird and good that I get to go first. First thing I noticed when I walked in the building was, you know, you've got this temperature check. You know, you're supposed to stop and get your temperature checked. We also had COVID testing available any time that we wanted to be tested. I did that a couple of times. I didn't continue to as I relaxed with the working in the Capitol. You know, it's a huge building. There's a lot of air space at the top, high ceilings. Good circulation and you know, I really did relax with our social distancing and mask wearing. I felt pretty comfortable. But we did have the opportunity to do all our meetings in our office online. I found that not to be my cup of tea. I can't imagine how the students had their learning affected this year by doing it that way. I really am a social learner and I make decisions based on how I feel people are reacting around me a lot of times. So I found that not to be my best way to work. But we did move forward with a lot of legislation at very rapid speed, I think. I got my book from the Legislative Research Development yesterday, and it's like that thick. It's like last year we had hardly any bills passed until at least until sine die. So we went through a lot of bills this year that were kind of in the works for a while. And I found the budget committee very rushed. We had a tight schedule to get the budgets back to Appropriations Committee. And I had a new chairman and we were really pushing to get our work done. New members of the committee felt like they didn't know what was going on. It went pretty fast. And we had a lot of concerns. You know, we had to do a lot of work outside a committee to help people understand those things. So I don't know how my time is going. Got any more time?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're
signal today.
I don't. I'm just going to let you go, and then I'll kindly just say, hey, let's kind of wrap up comments. So please feel free to share a few other comments if you have them, and if not, we can move on.
Well, I was disappointed that we didn't have a chance to debate Medicaid expansion again this year. We tried to bring it to the floor. It was ruled out of order as an amendment. That was not a surprise, but we did try. You know, in a year where we've had so much illness and death, you would think that healthcare would be a priority for everybody, but it was not a priority for our leadership. So that was the biggest disappointment of so far. And there's a possibility we're not finished. We could maybe get something done in the veto session. But and the other disappointment was not having the school budget ready as we go into veto session, because the K-12 budget was tied into a bill with policy instead of going through the appropriating process as it normally did. And I voted against it. The funding was okay, but some of the policy wasn't okay with me. And it was vetoed by the governor. So we will be dealing with that. We must fund our schools. one of the things that's come out of those discussions is that they're looking at sophomores in high school saying they're not achieving. They're not where they need to be. That could be true, but they've had 10 years of education where we were in the courts most of the time trying to get adequate funding for their education too. So they were the ones that were the most shortchanged of all, because they would have been kindergartners when we started this process of trying to get education appropriately funded. So I did participate in some outside activities, but most of those were done in my office online. I was a member of the Rail Caucus, and the Rail Caucus has got about 50 members. We're trying to be ready when the federal stimulus money comes through, hopefully to connect us from Chicago to Oklahoma City to Dallas-Fort Worth by rail. Amtrak is working on a plan to create a Heartland Flyer route to connect us from Newton to Oklahoma City. So we're working on that. Didn't get to do as much as I wanted to on that myself because of conflicts. But I think what we're planning to do is just be ready when the money comes through that we can make a strong pitch for that connectivity. Also worked with the Council of State Governments had on the Ag Committee for that. And I also did some energy online meetings this summer and fall where we discussed energy and broadband and education, the ability for students to get the internet they needed. They were talking about, it's an international group, and the people in Canada were saying, you know, a lot of families just drive up next to a school bus so they can do their homework because of not having the connectivity. Broadband is a big issue in Kansas. We're working on it through our highway plan, and I was really pleased also to see that we got a grant, matching grant was awarded to the WTC for internet connect work in the Zinedale and rural area. And I was happy to see that they were going to provide Aggieville with connectivity. So that might be, I mean, I could go on.
Well, I think you've already mentioned a few things that are likely to come up in questions a little bit later. So thank you. And I think maybe we'll continue on with our delegation. And Representative Dodson, if we could go to you for a 4 or 5 minute update on what's been going on in the session from your perspective.
Yeah, well, thanks for your work in putting this together. And thanks, good to see the treasurer here with us this morning. As the newest member, it was a little bit difficult to gauge kind of what to expect, but talking to those around me, this was an unusual year, as Sydney mentioned. We had quite a bit of catch-up. So in addition to the kinds of bills that we're bringing forward, we had bills that were left over from the last session. And I guess my judgment is that we had some good bills, that is, almost everything in them was intended for the good of the citizens of Kansas. There were some bad bills which didn't have much redeeming value. But most bills had some good and some bad. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that when these bills are put together, sometimes you don't get everything you want. But if your primary objective is in there and met, then that's probably a good thing. Some of the bills I thought were merely signal sending. In other words, if you thought that there was something in the administration that wasn't working particularly well, and you wanted to put together a bill that maybe didn't even have much of a possibility of going past a veto, it was nonetheless kind of a message that would go forward. A lot of the bills this year I thought were a bit pre-cooked. I mean, that's my own words. When they came into the committee, they looked like they had been put together for some time, and probably that's a result of the carry forward from the last session. But those didn't, I don't think, got as much attention as they should have. The other one was on, and I know most of the people that are with us this morning, I think, agree on this, is the transparency issue. So if bills don't get enough consideration in committee, particularly as a result of the numbers that were coming through, and then the use of the virtual system that we had, I'm not sure everybody got enough of a look at things as they were being made. And then, as Sydney mentioned, some of these things that in gut and go, when they come in and then they go underneath a new bill heading, it is very difficult for the members, and I think even more difficult for the average citizen, to figure out what in the world happened. So I'm not a big fan of that, and I don't know enough about the system yet to know how to change that, but I think that should be a priority. We spent most of the time, I would say, on a couple of things. One was the unemployment problem that we had, and the fraud that went along with that, trying to figure out how we could help both get people paid, eliminate to the extent we could the fraud, and then put in place a system that would take care of this in the future. And quite frankly, the governor had a mess simply because the IT system was inadequate and hadn't been funded properly in previous years. So, you know, we complain about that quite a bit, but in her defense, she had a heck of a hole to dig out of. And the priority at the beginning was getting people paid. So we do have, I think, a system now that will fund the IT system. We'll create a kind of an overwatch committee that will do some work there. And then on the other side, we'll make sure that some of our businesses don't get hit twice, because if you've got a fraudulent claim as a businessman, you have to still pay into the unemployment fund. And that's just, of course, not fair. So there's some legislation in there that will help that. One of the things that I found surprising, I guess, is the number of emails that you receive about bills that are in essence a cut and paste. In other words, it appears that someone sends out a position and people just clip that out, put it in their own email and send it to you. And while it's interesting for the first two or three or 10, you know, once you get up to 100, you've heard it before. And I just ask everybody who has a inclination to do that to make sure you do your research first, because some of the stuff is just nonsense. And I think most people are well-meaning when they do this. But again, if you do some basic research, particularly by reading the bill, and I think everybody knows now how to go online to the Kansas legislature website and look up a bill and just get some basic information there. I would just say the couple of things are disappointing. One was the governor veto on a lot of the KSU items. There's three in there, I think, plus the Board of Regents. So we've got to figure this out. And as everybody will comment, this omnibus session will be very, very interesting because of all the things that are in it. As Sydney mentioned, education bill, $4.2 billion, is going to be in there. And obviously nobody wants that to fail. And then I think the big issue coming up in the future that many will talk about is how we allocate the expected federal funds that will be coming to us. I mean, there's at least $1.6 billion right now. And we're going to have to figure out, much like we did for the CARES Act, how that's to be distributed to make sure that we get people taken care of, particularly our businesses, and get everything up and going again. I'll just stop right there, Dick. I think I probably exceeded my time anyway.
Thank you, Representative Dodson. Great recap of what's been going on and your perspective as a freshman legislator. Representative Hyland, our friend to the east, if you would take your position.
I'm not that far east. And I was fascinated to hear from Mike that he received emails that are have nonsense in them. Mine are all just very clear and plain. But he's right. You know, 200 to 300 emails a day for these past few weeks has just been unnerving and difficult to wade through. But to start back at the beginning of the session, and Sydney and Mike have alluded to it, this was a very strange session. It was rapid fire because everybody was worried that at some point COVID would break out and we'd have to go home. So I have never been involved in my 9 years at that fast a pace. It was ridiculous at some point. And the worst part for me was, because of the COVID restrictions and all of the things that were going on in the Capitol, and nobody in the Capitol, it was like a ghost town, you did not get to meet the new members. And that turned out to be, in my opinion, a difficult situation. Because with the new members, you have time to spend with them in the evening events, wherever, when you mingled, but we weren't allowed to do that. So we didn't get to know them, and we didn't get to share with them some of the knowledge that we may have, or they can figure out who actually they can depend on for usable information, let's put it that way. And that created problems. And then when we had folks that had to be seated up in the galleries on both the east and the west side of the House floor, that created a situation of jealousy and anger. And some votes were made just because they were angry about where they were sitting. I volunteered to move up. I told the speaker, and several of us did, move us and exchange us with those folks so that they can feel more like a part of the system. He did not do that. And I think we are seeing the results of that, and we'll have to mend those fences. It'll really have to be done. The items that took the most time this session, Mike and I serve on the Commerce Committee, and we spent an inordinate amount of time on the unemployment insurance situation. It took weeks working through that. I think we ended up with a very good bill, but it was difficult to get there. But I think it will work in the long run. We develop a system that we can help oversight a little bit, and we put guardrails in there to protect the businesses and the folks that had the fraud claims against them. And then the rest of my time primarily was taken up on my water committee, which I was named chair of. And that's a lesson in life that I should have learned by now. Don't make an issue unless you're willing to take on. And I complained to the speaker 2 or 3 times about how big a mess it was. And he called me in November and said, it's yours. So I should have known better. I'm going to show you something just real quick. I hope you can see it. That is what the organization chart looks like for water at this point. There are 16 different agencies. That's just Kansas, and there are 5 federal. I brought in every one of them, one at a time. I asked them what their mission was, how they do what they do, what their budget was, and the most interesting one was who do you report to? What's the reporting structure? The last one was interesting. Many could not answer it clearly. We'll have to clear that up for them in the future. Sydney mentioned the broadband. I wrote letters in support of WTC and ALMA both, wanting to expand the internet service. Both of the grants for WTC, the one for McFarland and the Zinedale area, were granted, and WTC completed theirs on time before December 31st for McFarland. And the most recent one is for the Zinedale area. I believe that Tom Hawk and I share that area. But beyond that, and that did great. If you haven't been in our area lately, go down Highway 99 and check out the new road that's being built. They are taking out the curves. And it's going along beautifully. It looks good. That took me 3 years to get through the transportation committees. And with the help of the 2 chairs and then the then governor, we got that passed through, and it's on the road. It's doing good. This year, because of the COVID thing, people were allowed to stay in their offices and attend the committee meetings by video. It was a strange situation. Many of them liked it. Some did not. I didn't particularly care for it. When I invite people in to speak, I like to see them standing up in front of us so we can see their eyes and kind of judge what they're saying. But hopefully we'll get that straightened out. But because of that, I was able to help the IT develop a filing system that is available to all legislators. And we've set that up. Every committee has a file on that system. And everything that happens in the committee is there, so nobody is ever without that information. Then that same information is transferred over to the legislative website, so the public have access to it also. So I think it's a great thing. The transparency has been increased tremendously this last, and every committee meeting was on YouTube as well. So, and available to the public. And I've had many comments from all over the state how much they appreciated being able to watch my committee in particular, but all committees throughout the year. So that was a great thing. I'm sure we'll get into some of these topics in detail, so I'll stop there. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you, Representative Hyland. And let me just remind folks that are participating in the legislative town hall that if you have questions, please type those into the chat and they will be delivered to me. And I will then ask those questions here shortly after we hear from Senator Tom Hawk. So Senator, thanks for joining us this morning, and unmute, and there you go. And we are ready to hear from you, sir.
Thank you, Dick, Jason, Manhattan Chamber, and thank you, Lane and AT&T, for sponsoring this. Before I give you my take on what I'm going to hopefully focus on what's ahead and a few things maybe we didn't do so well and a few things that we did well, I want to let everybody know that this is the Fort Riley, the Big Red One, Year of Honor. And we did recognize them with a proclamation. That's certainly a critical part of our district and our community. And we have a special presentation on Monday. He's kind of shy to bring that up, but I'm pretty proud of Representative Hyland, who is going to be honored. I think the official title, he's inducted into the U.S. Army Hall of Fame. And I think Representative General Dotson is going to do that presentation on Monday morning. So excited to be there in the old Supreme Court room. And congratulations, Ron, and thank you for your service. So good to see one of our own get that recognition. For me, the biggest issue, since I'm on Ways and Means and I'm the ranking member, so I'm there in the budget negotiations with the three people from the House and the three from the Senate. And we put together our two budget bills. I felt like we left really three huge things out of our budget bill that was really a negative. We didn't fund K-12. We put that over in a separate bill that had some policy things that I believe are problematic. And 20 of my colleagues in the Senate thought they were problematic and didn't support that. So we haven't funded K-12. I think Mike made mention of that, and Sydney and Ron sure aware of it. So that's a critical thing for us to do. We had hoped, some of us had hoped, that we might use some of the federal money to fund K-12. That's just not very likely possible. It doesn't do the maintenance of effort. It supplants state funding. And even if we did it, it puts us really behind the eight ball the next year and the following years out, and potentially puts us into problems with the court. So may have more questions on that. The other thing we haven't funded yet is judiciary, and we've really let our judicial budget wane. Part of it's been COVID, and part of it's been the legislature hadn't adequately funded our judiciary. Our judges are underfunded. The people who work in our judiciary are underfunded, and they have trouble recruiting and maintaining people. COVID took away their docket fees, and we have not funded. The governor has a budget amendment of $7.4 million just to fill that in because of COVID, and we haven't done that yet. I think we will. And then we have a controversy on state employee pay. Most of them have not had pay raises. We have sort of a system that's gone away from classified to more unclassified positions. So the governor has a modest proposal in there for pay raises. The controversy is we have businesses who've struggled, but we've actually used a lot of federal money, and the state treasurer talked about the money that we've added through the legislature. And we've done a lot through our Department of Commerce, over $6 billion with some of the federal SBA and the payroll protection money. I'd like to see us at least let our state employees know that we appreciate that they've held the fort down during these difficult times. The governor had 18 or maybe 19, depending on what source you read, in terms of budget vetoes. I know Mike's been trying to keep track of that, I think, in terms of the vetoes, but she did line item vetoes. I'm pleased that she did sign the budget, but there were several just detailed things that we needed to attend to, and we have not. She's had several what we call governor's budget amendments, and those have generally been accepted by my budget committee. I'm not sure what Sydney's did last week, but I think they did that. When we come back on Monday, we have two, at least in the Senate, and the House has, the House of Origin on the bills has to take care of whether they're veto overrides. We're doing two, Senate Bill 50, which is a tax bill. I think the governor was right in vetoing that. I don't think it's quite ready. We're giving a lot of tax breaks that cost a lot of money to some global companies. One of them you've heard is a GILTI, the Global Intangibles Tax. Even Trump did not exclude that. He didn't give a tax break for that when they revised the federal tax code. And we're rolling conformity. I don't think we should give that tax break for that. That would help our budget. I'm actually partial to decoupling. And I think that could help a lot of our individuals. Not a huge number, but I think that might encourage more charitable giving and give people credit for their interest payments and some of the things we've been trying to do to help our taxpayers. So we'll see if we get a compromise. I hope that Senate bill is not overridden, and I hope we come up with a more modest tax cut proposal. The other that we're dealing with in the Senate is a female transgender issue, and that's got a lot of people stirred up. One of my questions back when I was superintendent with the board was always a question of whose decision is it? Is it the decision the teacher should make, the principal should make, the faculty, or the board? We have a high school activities association who should really make those kinds of decisions. We only have five declared transgender female athletes, and the issue is presented as if it's all the boys are going to go out and ruin Title IX and take the girls' sports away from them. And that's not the case. And in fact, during my counseling days, I hate to admit it, but I was not, as a young counselor in my 20s, not aware of some of the bullying and harassment that the gay kids suffered. And it's even worse for transgender kids. And a couple of my kids committed suicide. So it's not without repercussions when we create these kinds of controversies in the legislature. So I hope we don't focus on that. I think our big issues are recovering from COVID, getting our businesses, funding our schools, doing the kinds of economic development things that David Tolan and his staff have been doing in commerce. We brought in $2.5 billion worth of capital investment, $5 billion since Governor Kelly's been governor. We've revitalized the Main Street program. We've tried to put tools in the toolbox that Dick and Jason, I think our membership here at the chamber is very interested in those kinds of things. And I would hope we wouldn't deal with the divisive issues, but really deal with the big issues that I'm with Ron. I'm a Western Kansas guy. I'm concerned about water. And I did manage to fight a little battle. I hope you all help me with it. I want to take care of the silting problem at Tuttle Creek. And I've managed to keep $850,000 in the budget for us to figure out really what we need to do about that. And there's some new technologies that are much cheaper than dredging, and we can be a model for how we could actually clean up municipal reservoirs and lakes and kind of help us with our water problem, particularly drinking water problems. The Water One in Olathe is very concerned about our dredging project. And I just got threatened the other day about, well, you're going to support what we want in the budget, Tom, or we're going to take that $850,000 out for dredging. And Ron, you're going to have to help me with some of my Republican colleagues on that. I think we have a couple really good opportunities potentially on the horizon. I've talked with some of our chamber members and community people. The KDHE lab, we need a new lab. I happen to think Manhattan would be a great place for it. And we were going to shoehorn it into docking because that was probably cheaper and one option, but I don't think my colleagues think that's a great idea. So maybe we can have a community proposal for that. Also got, and the governor had an executive order. We need another veterans home in the eastern part of the state. I think a lot of people thought it ought to be in Leavenworth. I think Fort Riley and either Milford Lake or Riley County or something that takes advantage of the great things we've done with Meadowlark and the new ideas in terms of transitioning people from assisted living into more care that we've done here could be a great model for that. And we have 10.5 million as a base in that. So some good things. We did try and beef up CAPERS. Nobody wants to re-amortize it. That's probably a better idea than a lot of people think. I'm not ready for that idea yet, but I don't want to exclude it. So we tried to float a $1 billion loan again, which has really helped us with bonding. And that's helped get our base up and our unfunded liability in CAPERS. We only managed to get people to squeeze out $500 million. When the market's good, and even when the market goes up and down, the last time we've done that, it's been a good thing for CAPERS. So those are some good things. We do have framework for growth in commerce, and I think that affects our membership here today, Dick and Jason. Very pleased with the metal group. I've encouraged us to include Wichita on some of the things because I think K-State and our tech colleges in our communities, whether it's Emporia or Topeka or Wichita or Manhattan, our tech colleges are not funded really at the level and they need capital support. And I think getting our Senate president, who has affiliation with Wichita State, sort of in the same playbook is a good thing for Manhattan and K-State and good for the state of Kansas. So those are the things I really want to focus on. I participated in a housing study. One of the things that hinders us, not just, I think we're doing a housing study here in Manhattan, but there's a statewide housing study. And if we're going to bring businesses here and get people to stay, we've got to increase our jobs and we've got to make sure we have affordable housing available. And there are some ways we can do that. And we have to be able to make sure the utility bills are affordable. So it's not just the rent that you pay or the mortgage. It's also your taxes and whether you have good schools, a grocery store, and a viable community. And I think all of that fits together. And I'm glad to see the Kansas Housing Authority dealing with that, the KHRC, and Governor Kelly supporting that. I certainly am supporting that. So some food for thought. Appreciate the comments about unemployment. That's still a headache for all of us legislators trying to help people, but we have made some strides in that area. The governor is on her way to getting the new computer system done. And I think we had good bipartisan cooperation to get a bill passed. And I just ache for the people that have lost their jobs and are having trouble getting launched again. And it's taking us too much time, but these are not normal times. So I hope we can get through that and get things stabilized. And I think we're going the right direction. It's just a lot slower. So glad to be here. Thank you. Open for any questions.